Now, someone pointed out to me last Sunday, probably because I've shown this video now 4 weeks in a row, that it's really a kind of a profound ending there, because all the seagulls are saying, mine, 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 but listen, none of them get the crab. And sometimes we're so intent on saying it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, we lose out on what's really important. So I thought that was kind of a profound observation. I told you the story the first Sunday. I'll tell you again because my grandson is here. I knew that movie without ever seeing it, because in the backseat of our minivan, he would watch it all the time, and I was just driving. I thought, I had no idea what the movie looked like, but I had it memorized in my ears from hearing it so often. But this series that we've been on, and today's the last day of this four-week series, it's not mine. Too often we're like those seagulls saying, it's my abilities, it's my time, it's my life, it's my body, it's my money, it's my stuff. But I'm here to say, if we understand what the Word of God says, nothing's really mine. Nothing is really, you know, it doesn't belong to me. When I die, there's not going to be a U-Haul behind my hearse. I'm going to leave it all behind. Everything I have are things that God's given to me. I can't lay claim really on anything. And the right perspective, as we've seen week after week, and I'll again remind you this morning, because I know that we have some that are here for the first time, the right perspective is to say, God, it's all yours. You own it, and I manage it. You've given it to me. You've given me abilities. You've given me time. You've given me financial resources. You've given me stuff. You've given me a body. All these things are things that you've given to me, but they're really not mine. They belong to you. And this is so profound because we realize if you open your Bible from the very first chapter, which is Genesis 1, and go to the very last chapter, which is Revelation 22, both of those chapters have the same theme. In Revelation 1, God says, I'm going to make a garden, I'm going to create a world, I'm going to put you in the middle of the garden, I'll let you enjoy it, I'll let you name the animals, I'll let you enjoy gardening in the garden, and you did not create it, but I want you to what? Manage it for me. And so Adam and Eve were there. They managed the Garden of Eden for we don't know how long. They lived there rent-free. They enjoyed the blessings of God and until they sinned. And so God created us as humans with that job description. I want you to manage what I create. And that doesn't just stop there. If you fast forward all the way down, and let me move over here to represent that, all the way into the future, Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible says, in eternity or in heaven, all of his servants will serve him. So we're going to continue to manage what God's created in heaven. Again, if your idea of heaven is sitting on a cloud playing a harp, eating a Three Musketeers bar, you're sadly mistaken. Heaven will not be boring. Heaven will be interesting. It'll be exciting. We'll be learning and growing and managing what God has created all throughout eternity. I thought I'd get a few more amens there. Then I know you're saving your amens for later, so just you got to space them out. You can't use them all at the beginning, right? But so whether it's Genesis 1 or all the way in the future, God says, listen, I'm going to create stuff. I'm going to create the universe. I'm going to create the Garden of Eden. And your role as human beings is to manage what I create. And we're unique in creation. You know, dogs don't do this. Whales don't do this. Penguins don't do this. Only humans, because we have the image of God. And so God gave us this unique responsibility to manage what he creates. That's part of the image of God within us. So kind of the key question we've talked about these last 4 weeks, and I just really want us all to grab a hold of it. Am I an owner or a manager? Is it really mine, or am I better to say, Lord, it belongs to you, and I want to manage it in a way that makes you look good? So the series has looked like this, and if you've missed any of these messages, you can go back on our website or our Facebook page. We talked about honor God with your body, honor God with your abilities. Last week, we talked about honor God with your stuff, with your money, with your things. And today, I want to talk about honor God with your time, with your time. Now, this perspective of God owning and me managing is really good news. It really is. You might say, oh, Pastor, that's not good news. I want to own it myself. But listen, and this is the first fill-in, so write this down this morning. If you're taking notes, write this down. This perspective isn't bad news. It brings us great freedom because we realize, listen, it's not mine. I'm not ultimately responsible. God is responsible. It belongs to him. If someone breaks into my home and steals my stuff, it's not really my stuff. It's God's stuff. God gives me time, and I want to use it the best I can. God gives me abilities. I want to use them the best I can. It's like this. If you are renting a car, let's say your family goes out of town, you're on vacation, you fly into a city and you rent a car, you drive away from the airport and 5 miles down the road, the car breaks down. How do you know it's not your problem? Because it's not your car, right? You're going to call. Now, you'll be upset. You'll be, you know, you'll be disappointed. But you're going to call Avis or Hertz or whatever and say, hey, listen, your car broke down. Come give me a different one. Amen? It's not your car. There's freedom in that. Because you're renting a car. It's not yours. In the same way, there's freedom in saying, God, at the end of the day, my body belongs to you. My abilities belong to you. My stuff, my money, my bank accounts, my car, all that belongs to you. And today we're going to talk about my time. My time belongs to you. Whether today's my last day on earth or you give me another 50 years, God, it's up to you. But it all belongs to you. It's not mine. And there's great freedom in that, saying, Lord, if you want me to live to be 100, I will do that. If you cut my life short for some reason, God, it's in your hands because my time is yours as well. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask my friend Sheree to come up. She's going to be our reader this morning. Let's stand out of honor to God's word. We want to stand as it's being read. And Sheree is going to come and read our text, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. And I trust you have your Bibles open. If not, look up at the screen as Sheree reads for us this morning.
Okay, Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Sheree. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. This morning, we're going to talk about that phrase. There's a lot in this text that we're not going to be able to talk about this morning. But I will tell you this, that after our missions conference, which is the next two Sundays, we're going to jump into the book of Ephesians. That's going to be our text throughout the rest of this year. We'll stop and take a break for Christmas. And then next year, for a lot of next year, we'll be in this book of Ephesians. So if you're saying, Pastor, there's a lot there we're not going to talk about today, just hold on. We'll get to it. Probably April or May of next year we'll get there. But a couple of things. You heard Sheree say that we're not going to talk about this morning. Number one, don't get drunk with wine. Don't get drunk. That's what the Bible says very clearly. Don't let anything control you but the Spirit of God, whether that's drugs or alcohol or gambling or whatever addiction might be. Don't get drunk. If you have problems in that area, get help. Don't just try to do it on your own. You need help, and so that's there. It says be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is available to us. Rather than being filled with wine, be filled with God's presence. Speak, sing, give thanks to God. So there's a lot in this text that we're just going to read and kind of not have a chance to talk about, but I wanted to mention those two things this morning. But here's the big idea, and it's in your notes. I want you to get this. The big idea is this. My time is not my time. It's a gift that I manage, not a right that I control. You know, here, I hope when you got out of bed this morning, your first thought was this. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Now, if not, that's okay, because that's probably not your thought. Maybe it's like, oh man, you know, I overslept, or I wish I could sleep more, or what's that noise out there, or whatever. But to say, Lord, thank you for this day. To realize that this day is a gift. It's so easy to take our time for granted and say, well, of course I'm going to get up today. Of course tomorrow I'll get up and I'll go to work or I'll go to school. Of course I will. I'm here to say today that every day is a gift. The time that you have is not yours. You manage it, but you don't own it. And that's easy for me to prove that to you because none of us can create time. Time's kind of a funny topic. Let me just kind of give you a couple thoughts here this morning, and I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Time cannot be stopped. Don't you wish you could stop time? Don't you wish in the middle of a difficult conversation you could just go, okay, time out, and you could gather your thoughts or collect your thoughts or go ask for help or phone a friend or whatever? Time can't be stopped. And sometimes you're in a conversation, you're thinking, what should I say? What do I say? Any husbands want to say amen right here? Come on, guys, help me out. You know, you're talking to your wives, you're thinking, well, she's a lot quicker on her feet than I am, and I don't know what to say now. Stop, I'm going to, you know, pause time. You can't pause time. Time cannot be stopped. Secondly, time cannot be stretched. Don't you wish you could just slow down time? Hey, for me this weekend, I wish I could slow it down. I mean, my son and grandson flew in Friday night. They're going home tonight. My mother-in-law flew in last night. She's going to be here for a couple days. I wish I could take this weekend and just say, okay, let's just slow down the time. Amen? Maybe that Christmas morning or that Thanksgiving meal, just slow down time and just let it kind of, you know, let it kind of just last longer. many of you that are raising kids saying, wow, I wish I could just slow down and keep my kids at this age. No? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Wait till they're teenagers, you'll wish you could roll back time, right? Okay, time cannot be stretched. Time cannot be stored. I'm going to save a couple hours from this afternoon, and I'm going to use them next weekend, or I'm going to take some time off my Monday and put it on my Saturday. Time cannot be stored. And so we're living in this thing that, you know, time is just one of those things that we just can't negotiate with. And time is so much of a part of our life, we can't even think about life without thinking about time. It's kind of like talking about water to a fish. I mean, a fish says, of course, water's all around me. It's all I know. And we as humans, time is just something we can't get away from. It's just always a part of our experience. And so we say things like this. Time flies when you're having fun, right? And that's certainly true. And then you go and you spend some time in the dentist chair, or you spend some time on jury duty, and time seems like it just slows way down, right? And so we experience time in all these different ways. But I want to talk to you today about, from God's Word, to again, help us recognize that the time that I have, whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's the next 50 years, the time that I have does not belong to me. It's not mine. I simply manage what God has given to me. So point number one, here it is, very simple this morning. Time, every day, every moment is a gift. You know, this morning when you woke up, God gave you a gift. I'm just here to remind you that God gave you a gift this morning. None of us signed a contract with God that said, God said, I guarantee you 75 years. I guarantee you 80 years. We have no guarantees with God. Amen? Amen? Unless you have something that I don't have. God did not give me a guarantee. God did not say, I guarantee that you'll live this long. I'm thankful for every day that God's given me. And just to remind ourselves that every day, every moment is a gift. That's why I asked Denise to begin our service by singing that song. Today is the day. And we'll close our service by singing that again. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it because he's given us today. We did not create today. We did not do anything to earn today. God gave us today as a gift. It's not mine. I don't own it. I didn't create it. Today and tomorrow. Even tomorrow, you know, tomorrow, let me just give you a heads up. Tomorrow's Monday. Did you know that? Some of you say, Pastor, I got to get up and go to school tomorrow. I got to get up and go to work. Tomorrow's, listen, even Mondays are a gift from God. There's a scripture in your notes. I don't want you to forget. I don't want you to miss it, so I put it in your notes. James gives us some great wisdom here. He says, listen, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Listen, why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. So James here says, listen, again, every day is a gift from God. And we know this. We talk like this in our world. We say, perhaps you've been in this situation, I think most of us have, when you stand at the graveside of someone who passed away, we say, well, they died too young. Maybe it was a teenager or a child or a young adult that passed away, and you just say, they died, they left us too soon, they didn't have a long life. And the feelings of regret and the feelings of pain that fill our heart when we realize that. But again, none of us deserve a long life. It's a gift from God. Some people we would say even, and I've heard some people say, well, Pastor, I wish God would either heal him or take him home. Because sometimes at the end of life, it seems like it stretches on too long. We see people who are living a life and maybe they're just kept alive by machines. And so even though we love the folks, we love them, we think, well, God, why are you giving them time at the end of their life when honestly they'd be better off in your presence? And so this idea of trying to negotiate and understand time, the best perspective is to say, Lord, thank you for what you've given to me. I may not understand it. I don't know why so-and-so died too young. I don't know why so-and-so is lingering on in a condition that doesn't seem to be very exciting for anybody. But Lord, we trust you with it. Let me also say one other thing. When we come over here to Revelation 22, when we come into eternity, I want you to know that we will not experience time like we do right now. There'll be a day when we're in the presence of the Lord where time will be no more, where the sun will not rise and the sun will not set. We will not get older. We will not look at our watches and say, well, I wonder when this sermon's going to be over. Not that you ever do that, of course. We will not experience time because in the presence of the Lord, the Bible says he will be the light. And we will. And I know that's mind-boggling to us. And sometimes you think, well, Pastor, what is that? We can't experience or understand that totally, but the Bible says that time will be no more, and in eternity, we will just enjoy the presence of the Lord forever and ever and ever. But every day is a gift. Every moment is a gift. Point number two, write this down. Our faith is connected to time and space. Now, this is huge. I don't want you to just gloss over this. Our faith is connected to time and space. The Christian faith, if you're a follower of Jesus, this ought to be important to you. Our faith is based on a historical event. This is different than some religions that are based on worshiping the sun or worshiping the moon or worshiping our ancestors or what have you. The Christian faith is based on the fact that Jesus Christ died and rose again on the cross. It's based on historical truth. In other words, Jesus came into time. Jesus lives outside of time. He is eternal, but he came in on Christmas. He stepped into time. He stepped into space. And so as Christians, we ought to get excited to realize that our faith is based on reality. It's based on a space and time experience and truth. Again, Jesus came. We as those that were baptized this morning, those of us that love the Lord, we base our faith on the reality that Jesus came. He was a real man. He died on a cross, looked like that. He rose from the grave in Jerusalem. You can still go there and see his tomb. It's a historical event. Our faith is based on that. And so this idea of space and time become very important to us because it's part of the foundation of our faith. So let me take it applying to our life. We live in 2018. Today is 2018. It's not 2016. It's not 2002. It's not 1945 or 1800. We live in a specific time. Now, some of you will say, Pastor, I wish I lived in a different time. I wish I lived in a simpler time. Listen, you're here because God wants you to be here right now. It's not a mistake that you're living in 2018 in a specific place. We are in Sacramento. We are not in San Francisco. We are not in Los Angeles. We are not in Rome. We are not in Tokyo. We are in Sacramento. Now, some of you say, Pastor, I didn't realize that until you told me. That's so profound. Please, next Sunday, stop me and get some coffee in the lobby, okay? That'll help you out quite a bit. We're here in time. And so even Jesus, when he walked the earth, he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. They could say, well, that's your family. Those are your brothers. He came into time and space. Now, that's important, again, because that helps us understand this whole concept of time. We studied Daniel this summer, and you might remember, we looked at the different kings he served under. Okay, again, you could connect it to history. It's not mine. God gives me the time he wants me to have, and I need to honor him with what he's given to me. I didn't create this day. I didn't create this time. It's a gift from God. I can't say it's mine. So again, since God sets the time of our life, the beginning and the end, let me just say some things here as application points. That's why suicide is so serious. That's why, because we're taking from God what he's given to us. Now, I know we all realize that, but I'm here to say, again, that struggling with depression or mental health is not a sin. If you're struggling with these issues, get some help. Talk to somebody. It's so often in the Christian faith or Christian circles, we've made mental health and mental illness some kind of a taboo subject. If you're struggling with these things, get some help. It doesn't mean you're a sinner. It doesn't mean that it just means you need some help. Amen. That's why, abortion and euthanasia are wrong because, again, we're taking from God's hands the span of our life. It's not our job to begin or end our life or somebody else's life. It is in God's hands. He gives it to us, and we manage what he gives us. It's not mine, it's his. Say amen if you're with me. Okay, because here's the most important point, number three. Even more important than time is opportunity. Even more important than time is opportunity. I don't know if you heard it when Cherie read the text, but I put it back in your notes. I didn't want you to miss it. The Bible says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every what? Opportunity. There's a parallel in Colossians. Ephesians and Colossians are very much alike. And in Colossians, Paul says the same thing. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. So, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we should just be lazy and waste time and everything else. No, we ought to be good managers of our time. We ought to kind of have a schedule and kind of know what we're doing and where we're going. And that's all good. That's all pleasing to the Lord. But when it comes right down to it, the Lord is more concerned with not just are we using every minute of every day wisely, although that's good. He's saying, are you taking advantage of every opportunity that I give you? Even more important than time is opportunity. You understand the difference, right? Sometimes opportunities are once in a lifetime. They're once in a while. You know you've got to do it. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. Go talk to that person. Or give this special offering or get involved in this ministry. You hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you and you realize that that is an opportunity that you better latch onto because it may not be available tomorrow. You see, not all time is equally valuable. There are times when God says, here's an opportunity. Here is a time I want you to grab a hold of. Make the most of every opportunity. Now, let me help you here with a little bit of Greek. Okay, the Bible, the New Testament was written in Greek. And if you look at your notes, there's two basic words in the Greek language for time. One is chronos, and that has to do with the passing of time, hours, days, minutes. We get words like chronology from this. I don't know if you're familiar with that word. Chronology is kind of a listing of events over time. And so even in English, we have the word chronos or chronology. That comes from that word time, and it means literally time. Okay, hours, minutes, days, okay? But in this passage, Paul doesn't say chronos. He uses the word kairos, which means opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. In other words, he's saying, listen, if you want to manage the time that God's given to you, yes, you ought to be good managers of the hours and the minutes and the days. That's all good. But even more important is, are you grabbing every opportunity I give you? Are you grabbing every kairos? And the word picture is great. If you like to shop or you understand shopping, the word picture is a great one. Buy up the time. Snap up a bargain when you see one. If you're out shopping, you see something you want and it's on sale, guess what? You're going to buy it probably. Okay? If you're like my wife and I, we go to thrift stores sometimes and just kind of look around. If you see something at a thrift store, you better buy it, right? Can I hear an amen out there? Because it won't be there tomorrow. There's one of a kind. So you snap it up, you buy it, okay? And then you get home and you ask yourself, why did I buy this? I'm not sure what it is. you don't do that. That's the picture in the Greek language. Buy it up when you see a bargain. And so Paul here says, and God here was saying to us this morning, listen, make the most of every opportunity. Buy up the time. Grab a hold of it. It's not yours. I gave it to you. I gave you this time. Grab it. Take a hold of every opportunity. Again, our world is really focused on the chronos, so the hours and the days, and maybe on your phone you've got your weekly schedule. I'm old enough to remember I had a weekly day timer and a little notebook I'd carry around. Remember that? Anyone else remember that? You know, and nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But even more important than that is saying, you know what, God? I want to have my eyes open for every opportunity you give me. Maybe it's an opportunity to speak into your kid's life or your grandkids' life. Maybe it's an opportunity to reach out to someone that's hurting or you just sense, boy, that brother needs a friend. They need someone to just put an arm around them and pray for them this morning. Now, if you don't do that, if you miss that opportunity, guess what? That will maybe never come back again. You may never have the same opportunities today. You can't say, well, I'll do that tomorrow. I'm really too busy right now to pray with anybody. I'm too busy to talk to anybody. I've got to, you know, grab my stuff and get out of here. Listen, if you miss an opportunity, there's no guarantee it's going to come back again. Now, I don't say that to make you feel guilty. I'm not trying to make you feel terrible if you have missed an opportunity. But I am saying the Word of God says, here's your time, here's your opportunities. Make the most of every opportunity because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Him. Those of us who have raised kids or grandkids know that not every moment's the same. There are moments when our grandkids or our kids, they're asking that question. They bring up a topic. They're sensitive to your input. And that doesn't happen all the time. And if you miss those opportunities, you're gonna regret that. Here's a saying, I love it. It's not in the Bible, it's nothing I made up, but I've heard it. Maybe you have too. I think I put it in your notes there. The pain of discipline is better than the pain of regret. Isn't that true? You say, you know what? I'm going to make the most of every opportunity. I'm going to discipline myself to be listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna be tuned in when I go to work tomorrow. Maybe there's going to be somebody, a coworker, that needs just a word of encouragement. Maybe there's going to be a homeless person on the street that needs someone to listen to them for a moment. Maybe there's a ministry opportunity that I need to get involved in. I'm going to be tuned into that. I'm going to be listening, because the pain of discipline, of saying, God, I want to hear you, is a lot better than the pain of regret. Boy, there's just something about regret that just hits us really hard, doesn't it? Oh, I wish I would have done that. I wish when my kids were younger. I wish when the relationship was different. I wish. And the idea of regret is a difficult and painful thing. Make the most of every opportunity. That's God's word for us this morning. There's one more scripture I want to show you from the book of Psalms. I put it up here on the screen for you, Psalm 39. And if you've ever heard me do a funeral or memorial service, I probably have used this scripture. I think I use it almost every time I do a funeral. And I do that on purpose. Because one of the reasons we do funerals is not only to honor the person that's passed away, but if we're smart, we'll take the opportunity to evaluate our own lives. And here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 39. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, not only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. You see, we ought to be reminded that my life is going by quickly. My days are going away from me. Every day, moment by moment. Here's some good news. We're all getting older. Oh, thanks, Pastor. I'm glad I came to church this morning. I did some calculations this week. This is sobering to me, because the psalmist says, number my days. I found out that today, you want to hear some exciting news? Write this down. Today is day 20,156 of my life. Thank you for clapping. I don't know why you're clapping. Maybe you're just amazed. Do it for yourself. I mean, you know how when babies are young, we give their ages by weeks or months? I am 2,879 weeks old, or months old, weeks old, 1,680 months old. So there you go. Those are my days. Wow. Don't say wow. Come on. Wow. Number my days. My days aren't going to last forever. Your days aren't going to last forever. Every day is a gift. Every day is an opportunity. Lord, help me to see my life like that. Not in a depressed, pessimistic, oh, we're all going to die sort of way. No, not at all. But say, Lord, today's a day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, you give me opportunities. You give me what we sometimes call divine appointments. I love that phrase. Divine appointments are when God brings something in your life that you weren't looking for. I mean, out of the blue, you may think what you're going to do this afternoon. You may think what you're going to do tomorrow. You say, Pastor, I got this appointment and that appointment. I'm going to do this and that. Listen, a divine appointment is when God says, you know what? You're going to have an appointment with this person. They're going to intersect your life, and it's going to change their life. It's going to change your life. You're going to bring glory and honor to me because of this appointment I have for you. And God's word says, listen, don't be so scheduled and so scripted to say, well, no, I don't have time for that. Listen, do you think Jesus was ever busy? Do you think he was ever in a hurry? Do you think he was pushing through people and saying, no, get out of my way, I've got to go? I can't picture him doing that. Just something about me, I can't picture Jesus running through the crowd and knocking people over and saying, I've got to go to this city. No, he had time for people. He understood that God gave him time, and the time was a gift he wanted to use for God. Now, again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a schedule. We shouldn't just all just kind of hang back. No, we ought to have a focus and a direction. But to say, Lord, help me be open to the divine appointments. Help me not to miss any opportunities you want to bring my way today in this week. Because the time you give me, it's not mine. It belongs to you. Amen? So let me close with a simple question. Very simple question. As one person talking to another, as your pastor talking to you this morning, let me ask you today, what are you putting off? Is there something you're putting off? You're saying, well, I'll get to that later. I'll get to that someday. Well, someday I'm going to take care of that. And maybe when the kids are growing, or maybe when I retire, or maybe. If you're putting something off and God's speaking to you this morning, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, do not harden your heart. If God's speaking to you today, take care of it today. It may be as simple as this, and I mean this in all sincerity. If you watch the people be baptized today, and you say, you know what? I need to be baptized. Don't wait till we do it again. We'll baptize you right now. Pastor Michael will baptize you right now. I'm not getting in that tank, but I volunteer him to get in that tank and baptize you right now. And no, listen, I know I'm laughing. I know we're laughing, but I'm serious. I would rather have, again, Pastor Michael, get in the tank again, because that's the principle. Today is the day. Too many people have said, well, I'll join the church later. I'll be baptized later. I'll get involved with ministry later. And today is the day. Today is the opportunity. Does that make sense? What are you putting off? What are you avoiding? Avoid it no longer. Today is the day. Don't harden your heart to the things of the Lord. What opportunities do you need to buy up? What are you saying someday to? Because your someday has got to become this day or today. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? And just take a moment and let the Lord speak to your heart. You guys know me well enough. I'm not here to put pressure on anybody or manipulate or guilt. But if God's speaking to your heart, I want you to take a moment and just listen. What are you putting off? What opportunity do you need to buy up today? Where do you need to say, Lord, you've shown me this opportunity. I can't wait. I can't procrastinate. I want to take advantage of it today. Maybe it's a relationship that needs healing. Maybe it's a friendship that needs work. Maybe it's a person that needs encouragement. Maybe today's the day you need to give your life to Jesus. The day you need to be baptized or say, I want to join the church. Whatever it is, today's the day. And Lord, we're here today to say our time is yours. Lord, we can't create time. We can't save time. We don't know how much time you'll give any one of us. It may be the reality, Lord, that some of us, our lives will be over this week. Thank you for the time that you've given us, that you've already given to us. Help us to obey your word and what you've said, to buy up every opportunity, to make the most of the time you've given to us. Father, I pray you speak to each one of our hearts this morning, right now, about anything that we may be putting off, anything we may be delaying, any way we may be hardening our heart, Lord, to your voice, to your spirit. We want to buy up the time. We want to be available. We want to be listening to you. One more question with every head bowed and every eye closed. Just an opportunity for me to know how better to pray for you today. Would you say, Pastor, pray for me about this. God's speaking to me about something. You don't have to tell me what it is, but God's speaking to me about something that I want to take care of right away. I've been putting it off. I've been delaying. My heart has been hardening. It may be a spiritual thing. Maybe just doesn't have to be anything exceptional, but God's speaking to you. Just lift up your hand right now about something in your life. Amen. Lots of hands being lifted. Lots of hands being lifted up. Thanks for your honesty this morning. Let me encourage you one more time. The Bible says, when God speaks, don't harden your heart. Don't say, well, I'll take care of that later. I'll take care of that next week. No, God's speaking to you today, so do something about it today. You say, Pastor, that's scary. I know, but God can help you. God will give you the courage. God will give you the strength. So, Father, I pray for those that lifted their hand this morning that you would especially help them, Lord, with the issue that they're dealing with. Help them, Lord, not to put it off. Help them, Lord, to buy up the time, to buy up the opportunities for what you're asking them to do, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask your ushers to come forward now. We're going to wait upon you.